We talk about bad news on this program all the time, and this week is no exception as we saw TV reports of people desperately trying to get their money out of that failed bank in California. We saw headline after headline of the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We all wondered about the security of our own money and our own financial future, as well as our nation's financial future. We are going to talk this hour with a state psychotherapist about the stress this puts on all of us and what we can do about it. Coping strategies this hour. What we can do and what do you plan to do, maybe this weekend, to take a break from the steady beat of troubling news about our economy, energy, the war. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, July the 18th. And we are happy to have with us Phil Shard, who is a psychotherapist and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. You know, I was talking with my husband yesterday, and we're just trying to figure out, what are we going to do this weekend just to take a break from all of the stress of this week? I'll bet that we're not alone.
Not at all.
No.
There's actually been a term sort of coined for this, and that's called media affective disorder.
Oh, what is that? Really? What does that mean?
Well, it really means that after people get exposed to enough bad news, as you were referring to earlier, it begins to kind of accumulate in the backgrounds of their minds, and it begins to weigh upon them, even when they're not consciously paying attention to that.
Yeah. You know, I am a news junkie. Everybody who works here pretty much is a news junkie, a political junkie, and we do talk about this stuff all the time. But there are some times where I just have to turn the channel, be it the TV channel or the radio dial, and just watch something other than news. Do you recommend that?
Very much. There are a lot of people who are kind of plugged into information all the time and constantly getting news feeds, monitoring the stock market, watching for the news headlines, listening to information sources like public radio. And if you get too much of that after a period of time, it really does begin to influence the way you look at the world and the degree of safety, if you will, that you feel within that world.
Yeah, well, maybe... Here, I'm going to contradict myself. Maybe I need to know, maybe we all need to know that these things are happening, and taking an escape is just putting our heads in the sand.
You know, escapism kind of has a bad name, and there certainly are times when it's not a good strategy, but there are also times when it is. The fact that some people can't unplug, if you will, from the news cycle for any period of time reflects the fact that they have a lot of difficulty letting that go. And, you know, it really is okay sometimes to give yourself a news break, an information break, and really kind of put it behind you for at least a few hours or hopefully a few days at times as well.
Tell us why it would be healthy to take that break.
Well, generally what we know about information is that when people perceive it negatively and they pay attention to it for a while, they react to it emotionally, and then they walk away from it, that there's still a lingering kind of after effect. We know that the vast majority of the mental processing that goes on in our brains occurs in the so-called subconscious mind or outside of our awareness. And when you keep pouring all of this negativity into your head, what happens is it sort of drops down into the subconscious, if you will, and it lingers there over a period of time and begins to color the way that you look at everything around you. And it can really create a kind of a persistent mood of pessimism, this sense of, you know, things are not going to work out well either for me or for all of us. And that weighs upon people emotionally in such a way that it colors almost everything that they do.
Yeah. So what do you recommend for your clients or to any of us that are facing a situation like this?
We know there's a number of things that can really help people. And the first thing is often tough, particularly for news junkies, and that is really to unplug or to kind of limit or sequester islands of time when you agree, you make a commitment to yourself that you're not going to stay on top of the news cycle and that you are going to give yourself some time off. That helps if you can sort of feel like, oh, I have some control over how much of this input I'm allowing into my head. The other thing is to just simply get involved in any kind of activity that really fully absorbs you, the kind of thing where once you're involved in it, you kind of lose track of time and you lose track of your worries and the whole sort of other world context that we live in kind of fades way into the background and you're really totally absorbed in what you're doing. Anything that you have in your, you know, your repertoire of behaviors that allows you to do that is a really positive thing. And I wouldn't call that escapism. I'd just call it balancing out your life.
Well, let's find out what questions listeners have, or maybe some suggestions from listeners. What do you do to take a break from the bad news? What do you do to put a little balance in your life? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm looking for some ideas. I need to know what you're doing, maybe even this weekend, be it taking a trip to the beach or maybe it's just reading a good book. What do you do to take a break from the stress, the anxiety of the everyday world and all of the bad news that we get in the media? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, July the 18th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Slowing down can improve gas mileage, but should it be mandated? At Issue after 5, Ben hosts a debate over whether the national speed limit should be reduced to 55. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. Right now, we're wondering if you're feeling overloaded with information and overwhelmed by the news, maybe even a little fearful and anxious about, say, the economy with all the bad economic news this week. Well, a media timeout might be just right for you. We are talking with a psychotherapist and a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Phil Chard, who says sometimes we need to unplug from the media and clear our minds. We're looking for your questions and maybe what you do to unplug. What are you going to do this weekend to take a break from it all? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. To the phones we go. Steve in Barron is with us. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey, I had this exact problem. I was addicted, kind of addicted to political news on the internet, and I was just talking to a professional about it one time, and he told me, he said kind of the same thing about unplugging. Well, I wasn't able to do that really, but what I did find was an alternative, and what I do now is I surf eBay. I don't really buy anything, but I spend a little bit of time when I want to just curtail my news time. I just go and look through memorabilia and, you know, things from when I was a kid, and It's just kind of downtime.
Yeah. So you're able to just look at what's for sale. You're not going on a shopping binge, are you?
No. In fact, I've hardly bought anything at all. You know, but in the last couple of years, I mean, it's just a kind of an escape or release, and because the internet, as far as news is concerned, you can find anything, and it's really addictive.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'll take my comment off the air.
Thank you for calling. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, he's very right about that addictive quality. There's even some studies showing that there are some folks who, when they do unplug from the news cycle, whether it's on the internet or the radio or television, that they actually become more anxious. They kind of feel like, when something's happening, I don't know what it is, you know, I should. They sort of feel this impulse to always know what's going on. So as your caller indicated, it can be tough to push back from that. And some of the ways that you can do that, again, is to find something that draws your attention away from that sufficiently, captures it sufficiently, and holds it long enough that you really can take that kind of time out. And, you know, as an interesting side note to that, there is some recent psychological research showing that one of the more effective ways to do that is to go outside, to be in the natural world as opposed to the technological or media world.
Mm-hmm. How come?
And, well, we're not exactly sure. We just know that the effect is there. We think that it's because when you go outside, you connect with the larger natural world, which, you know, isn't all wrapped up in all of this stuff, and it gives you a kind of a sense of perspective that you, that whatever troubles you have or the negativity you may feel after listening to all this news, there's a larger world out there and that there are a lot of things that really are kind of working okay. And there's sort of that natural connection with something greater than yourself, so it helps you put it all in perspective.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
It is. I'm kind of a outdoor guy, even based on our ominous forecast. I still try to find time every day to get outside, and if I'm particularly kind of feeling pessimistic after having been immersed in a bunch of bad news, I'll make a real point to go outside at least for a few minutes, walk around, breathe in some air, and look up at the sky and realize that, you know, there are larger things in the world than the latest news story I just read.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, last weekend, my family and I went on a hike in at Devil's Lake, and up into the bluffs, there was the, you know, the physical work, the exercise of doing all that, and once you're up at the top, you're just looking out at this panoramic, just absolutely astounding beauty, and you're not listening to the radio or watching TV while you're doing that.
Yeah, we call that losing your mind and coming to your senses.
Yeah. And so you would maybe recommend to Steve that he might want to take a hike, or or do you think he's found a good solution to his computer news addiction by going to eBay?
Everybody has kind of different ways that they can unplug, and if that works for him, he should certainly do it. For folks who are kind of not sure what to do, I think going outside and getting more involved in so-called real world of nature, as opposed to more of the techno world that we live in most of the time, is a real good antidote for most folks, and there is good research to back that up.
Thanks, Steve, for calling. Carl, oops, wait a minute. Let me try something here. Carl in Peshtigo is with us now. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Jordan. I find public radio on the weekend very entertaining. Prairie Home Companion, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and those other programs that are not contingent to the daily news or the issues that's bombarding us, that's not quite what we like to hear. And public radio has a lot more informing and very relaxing and humorous programs out there. And if they would entertain a few more of those, like in the evening and so forth, such as the one that comes out of Canada, I can't pull the name off the top
of
my head.
Are you talking about As It Happens?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's very informing, but very therapeutic of a different slant.
Yeah, it's done in a little bit more of an entertaining way. Carl, thank you very much. That's right. There are lots of programs that are more entertainment in nature on Wisconsin Public Radio on the weekend. And in part, Phil Chard, that's because research told the public radio system that people love news and information, but on the weekends they do want a break, or they do want to kick back, and they don't want to have that steady drumbeat all weekend long. We kind of have a different mindset on the weekends.
Yes, and as your caller alluded to, one of the other great antidotes for this sort of media-induced kind of pessimism is humor.
Mm-hmm.
When we're able to kind of push back from the melodrama that we see going on around us, whether it's in our personal life or the larger culture, then, you know, it gives us, again, that sort of sense of perspective. We can laugh a little bit at ourselves, laugh a little bit at our situation and sort of the grand comedy of it all, and get a sense that, you know, again, it's not as deadly serious as we often make it out to be in our own minds.
So Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is good for you, Carl. Thanks for calling. Rich in Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joyce. Yeah, my family and I actually just moved to Wisconsin about a month ago, and we've never owned a home. We're in the market looking for our very first home. We're in a low to mid-low income bracket by choice, and so obviously right now the economy is kind of high on our radar.
I'll bet.
And, we're trying to find out what we can do. We've got three young boys, and there's a lot of stress. You know, we're going through what seems like hundreds of homes and just different things like that, trying to figure out what to do. But in order to escape, I mean, we're kind of with it enough to realize that unless we intentionally turn it off, and one of the things my wife and I are committed to do, I mean, money is tight, but we do take a date every week and are intentionally getting together, spending time not dealing with houses and finances and all that kind of different thing. And just whether it's going down to the beach or whether it's, you know, even just sitting at McDonald's and just buying some of their dollar menu stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be able to spend that time together, not dealing with the things that are probably causing us the most stress in our lives. The other thing that we do is, you know, we've got these three young boys, and I've got a seven-year-old, and he's actually old enough now where he's starting to pick up on some of these conversations we're having during the week and realizing, oh, man, yeah, money, and boy, this is kind of stressful, and we're looking for a house, what can we afford, and all this stuff. So, you know, and, you know, we'll try to watch some news reports, or even every time you check your mail online, you know, you've got headlines that just kind of flash across your screen. There's just times where we just need to shut it off. So we usually take the boys, and there's so many things to do for free, and so many things that they're just totally excited about. We moved here from southeast Iowa, where, you know, there was just nothing.
Yeah, and, watch the corn
and,
grow.
You know, now, you know, there's a lake, mm-hmm. there's a museum that's free, there's the zoo, there's just so many things that their eyes just get big, and it's fun just to spend that time as a family. So I think maybe what we do more than anything is just start investing in our relationships with each other as just a diversion from some of the barrage of things that we hear, you know. And
yeah.
And the other thing is the gas prices. You know, we're just not used to traveling as much as we do right now. And, you know, there's just a lot of a pinch right now, and a lot of it we're hearing online and in the news. And we just have to intentionally take breaks.
Yeah, well, so the great suggestions, Rich. Phil Achard, look for some cheap thrills in your own backyard and do stuff with your family.
Yeah, those are excellent ideas. And what it really reflects is the decision to take control. And that's one of the things that's critical in the whole stress equation, is that people feel like they don't have control over their own lives, that they're sort of being pushed and pulled by all these outside forces. And many of those outside forces now, as we know, are quite negative or chaotic in the economy and so on. So part of it is just saying, I'm going to take charge. I'm going to do something proactive to, again, get myself out of that news and pessimism cycle and connect with other people, connect with events. And when you begin to feel that sense of, gee, I'm not just a puppet on a string being controlled by all these forces outside of me that I really can't do very much about, that I do have the ability to direct what goes on in my own life, my own little small sphere of existence, and that really does help to diminish that stress because, again, we know from research that stress is primarily about feeling that you don't have control over your own life.
We are talking about what we can all do to deal with the stress, the anxiety of all the bad news we've been hearing lately, the fear over our own personal and national financial security. Our psychotherapist guest has some ideas that he is sharing, and we're looking for your answers too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 636 on this Friday, July the 18th. What do you plan to do this weekend to unwind? What do you like to do to calm you down when the news of the day becomes too much? We're talking about how all the bad economic news of this past week, the past several weeks for that matter, is causing a lot of us to be a little anxious, even fearful. And we're talking about coping strategies with our guest psychotherapist. Phil Chart is a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as well as being a psychotherapist, author, and trainer. He'll answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kenneth in Oshkosh is with us next. Hi, Kenneth. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I find my release, I guess if you can call it a release, in understanding and analysis. In other words, I actually would like to have more news and more substantive news. But even with what I've got, being an amateur historian, the patterns that are arising, they don't make me fearful. They give me understanding and analysis of what is happening.
Yeah, so understanding the issue further, having it in context, is what you are looking for.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Phil Chart?
A long time ago, I read a book called, I believe it was The Next 100 Years. And then this gentleman in 1947 predicted the fall of the Soviet Union within a matter of months. I've always aspired to having that type of perspicacity in terms of viewing history and understanding what its flaw is.
Yeah, maybe the bad news isn't so bad after all, Phil Chard.
Well, that's a real interesting strategy, and I think an effective one if you can do it, because the caller's right. What a lot of people do is they react to these sort of brief sound bites in the news that often are dire, because we know that sometimes that sort of thing attracts more listeners or viewers, and then they just don't really get into the depth of the information behind the story. So sometimes the way to push back from a stressful emotional response to bad news is to really delve in more deeply into the broader context of that news, so that you, again, get that perspective. In this case, you get the perspective by adding more information rather than less information. So that's a really, I think, effective and interesting strategy if you're the kind of person that's sort of intellectually inclined rather toward that sort of analysis.
Right. Thank you very much, Kenneth. You know, but there's one thing to understanding what's going on behind the failure or the collapse of that bank in California. It's another thing when you see these people panicking, trying to get their money out of that bank, and you see all these other stories going on about the economy. Understanding that further is one thing, but then when you actually do have less money in your pocket, because there's a reality there, you're pinched for cash, it's another, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And when the degree to which the bad news that you're encountering out there in the media begins to directly influence your own life and in an adverse way, the more relevant it becomes for you, again, the more you feel that you're being kind of controlled or influenced by forces that you really can't affect. And that generally is going to send the stress meter higher.
So what advice do you have for my husband who, he's not quite retirement age now, but now he's like, oh, I'm never going to be able to retire. You know, I've got to work forever. The economy's going down the tubes. My 401k is going down the tubes. I'm going to have to work forever.
Well, I think that that's an interesting example, because, again, most of us try to get a sense of control over our lives by predicting what's going to happen next, and usually we're wrong. If you think about most of the things you worry about or obsess about in the future, often they don't happen at all. If they do happen, it's often in a different way than you thought. So this ability to kind of project forward is really an illusion that we have, that old Yogi Berra thing, predictions are difficult, particularly about the future. And I think that that's really true in this context. So when we catastrophize about what's going to happen, we need to remind ourselves that we don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I just need to get him to Devil's Lake more often, probably.
That would help, too, I think.
Carrie and Augusta, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I really appreciate the show today. One of the things that I was thinking as I've been listening is that we are responsible. We are in control of our own balance. And that's what I find is wanting to make sure I have balance in my life. Keeping abreast of the news is really important to me, because I don't ever want to be apathetic. And I want to be empathetic. I want to understand and be a part of the bigger picture. But I also want to have balance. And I know even last night I needed to just go outside. I live on a farm. I needed to go out, tend to the animals, take care of things. I also have a satisfying career outside of that. And so having all that balance. But I think the piece to me that I find is I don't get stressed by too much news or anxious. If I step away from it, sometimes I feel guilty because I feel I have a choice to step away. Other people live it every single day. I want to be empathetic, not apathetic.
Thank you, Carrie. We're losing your signal with your cell phone. What do you think, Phil Chard?
Yeah, again, I think what you're hearing from a variety of your callers is mm-hmm. that people use different strategies to keep that balance and to keep that sense of control. And it's interesting what she was referring to, because there are a lot of people who have literally just, you know, turned out and tuned out the news because either it's too negative or it bothers them too much, or they don't feel like there's anything they can do about it. And they then do tend to lose some of that sense of empathy for others because they become encased in sort of the bubble of their own particular or specific existence. It's also true that people get into cycles of negativity. You know, they'll get into this bad frame of mind about what's going on in the world, and then they'll start to screen for and pick out news stories that reinforce that, rather than looking at the broader perspective of, well, there's also some good news going on too, and then balancing that out with the bad.
Mm-hmm. And when you recommend a timeout or unplugging, you're not saying do it forever. You're just saying as a break.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do anything, constantly, after a while, you get into that proverbial rut, and that sort of takes over your life. When you begin to achieve certain balance, as your caller was talking about, I can turn it off sometimes, I can go back to it, I can go more in-depth into the news to get perspective, I can connect with activities or family or nature to help me balance out. What you're really doing is achieving that kind of sense of, I'm in charge of my own life, I have a certain amount of balance, and that in itself reduces that stress significantly.
Betty in Hillsboro, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have several suggestions for things that people can do. Number one is go and see your local historical places. There are 375 local historical societies in Wisconsin, and some of them run a lighthouse, some have an old school or an old church or an old firehouse, and there's lots of interesting things to find just in your own localities. And then the State Historical Society has 10 sites around the state, like Villa Louie and Prairie du Chien and Old World Wisconsin, and people can go and visit those sites without much driving and learning a lot and having a complete change of scene. But the most important thing that I do to try to reduce that stress is to count my blessings. I live in a nice little apartment house, and during the big storms, we never lost electric power, so we had lights and we had air conditioning, and then reach out to somebody else. I go down to the nursing home and visit people, and I found out that one lady loves the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, so I dragged out the whole set that I have, and I went and visited her every couple of weeks, and she just loved those books to read, and it gave me an opportunity to go and visit her on a regular basis. And so there's lots of things we can do if we look beyond our own nose and think about other people and other places to go.
That made me feel better just hearing you talk about that, Betty.
Well, I had a lot of fun, and I go around to the state. I work with the State Historical Society, and I go around and visit a lot of the local societies, and there's just wonderful stories out there, and now we're going to be focusing on getting the stories of our Vietnam vets. We've done some of the research on the World War II vets and on the Korean War veterans, and there's interesting people to talk to.
Yeah.
One year, we just, in our local historical society, we had local business people come in and say, well, I started my business in 1954, and then we had a big hailstorm. These were people who ran a floral shop, and their greenhouse was hit by hail. And so we learned about some of the interesting things and the stresses that happened to our local people.
Yeah.
And if the stories are out there, all we have to do is talk to people and listen to people.
Didn't that make you feel better, Fulchard?
It does. You know, it's the same theme that we're hearing from a lot of folks, which is perspective, because when you look back at history and look at the stories of other people's lives and the adversities that they overcame, that helps you to put your own problems into a broader context.
Yeah, that reaching out to someone else, too, probably is a good coping strategy.
And there's good research showing, and actually some very recent research showing, that people who do give to others and reach out to others are happier. That there's a return cycle to giving, and the return cycle is that when you give to others, you're really giving back to yourself as well.
Phil Chard, our guest, psychotherapist, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking with us about information overload and what we can do to cope with the stress, the anxiety of too much bad news. 1-800-642-1234. We want to know what you do to cope, to unwind, to take a break. 1-800-642-1234, or any questions you have for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's about 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, July the 18th. Coming up after 7, we will welcome in a professor of public and environmental affairs from UW-Green Bay to talk about Al Gore's challenge. He says that we need to produce all the electricity that this nation needs through renewable or earth-friendly sources within the next 10 years. We'll talk about that coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about what we can do to get away from the news for a little while anyway, what we can do to cope with all the stress, fear, anxiety associated with bad news, and we've been getting plenty of bad economic news, especially this week. We thought you might want to talk about ways to cope with that, and I'm certainly looking for your ideas on things we can do even this weekend to unwind a little bit. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you like to do to calm down when the news of the day becomes too much? Ellen in Waupun, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling with a couple of things. We are having some friends over this weekend to play games, and we just enjoy that, and it really is a good stress reliever. But I also wanted to comment that another part of my life that brings me balance is worshiping God, and that's a regular part of my life, but it certainly is your professional there has said it lends perspective to life.
Yeah.
And it just really helps us to realize this is not all there is.
Yeah. Phil Chart?
Yeah, and a lot of people use their connection with their spiritual beliefs, their religious beliefs, as a way to help give them that sense, again, of perspective, and to also make them feel like they're not alone in this, that they're connected with a power greater than themselves that's working in ways that, while mysterious, still seem to be miraculous as well. So that's a strategy that a lot of folks use, and there, again, is some social science research to back up that people who do make that spiritual connection in their lives are better insulated from these kinds of stresses.
You wrote a piece about this that I have here, where that spiritual connection can be made a number of ways. You say that your father had that connection with the land and his farm and the animals and plants, and your mother had that connection with music.
Yes, and we do know that people do find those links in a variety of different contexts. Some of them do it within the context of a spiritual community, others a church. Some people, their connection with what they love to do, their connection with other people, or in my father's case, with the land and with nature. That was sort of his sense of that he was, as he used to say, walking with God when he was out in the field. So it really is very individual and very specific.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm driving around and I'm hearing talk shows or news programs on the radio and I just can't take it anymore, I flip to the oldie station and listen to that. So get away from it that way. Sean in West Salem says that engaging my imagination is the best way to get away with a good book, movie, or even a TV show. How about that? Just escape a little bit with a book, a movie, or a TV show.
Yeah, and imagination, anything that does kind of stir up your sense of wonder and imagination and creativity also helps to kind of push you out of that rut of that negative news cycle because it engages the parts of yourself that are positive and they're optimistic and they're creative. It's sort of like making your own good news, if you will, to balance out some of the bad news that's pouring in from the outside.
You know, the movie The Dark Knight opens up this week, and I think it did even last night, and all sorts of people are flocking to that. This is a little off topic, but why do people dress up in Batman costumes to wait in line to go to a movie?
I don't know, but somebody should do a study on it.
Elizabeth in Cresco, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. See, I'm enjoying your program so much.
Well, I'm glad.
The one thing I really like to do to get away from all this bad news is listen to some good old-time music, polka music. And also I enjoy walking out in nature, out in the fields and out in the land. And thank you very much for your wonderful program.
Well, thank you for calling, Elizabeth. Polka music, you can't stay sad if you're hearing polka music, Phil Chard.
Yeah, I would think not, unless you just can't stand polka music. But I think that your caller has an excellent point. A lot of people connect with, or I should say, get out of that negative mindset by listening to music, because music really touches us at a very deep level. It connects us with things that are important, that we care about, that we feel deeply about, whether it's just fun or whether it's something deeper. And so music's a great way to get that escape. Again, escape here is not a bad word, as long as it's not something that you use to constantly stay away from the news.
And gardening and getting out, that's another, you know, it's connecting with nature in a different way, right in your own backyard.
You know, gardening is interesting because it's one of the number one so-called leisure activities in the United States and has been for a long time. But it also connects you with the sense of, I'm not only a part of nature, but I'm contributing to the whole life force, you know, because I'm participating with the forces in nature to grow something new and beautiful. And that, again, kind of brings that sense of I'm making good news in my life
mm-hmm.
to balance out all the bad news going on around me.
My sister calls it dirt therapy.
Dirt therapy, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, good, Elizabeth.
Good,
Vicki in Edgerton, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I don't know if anyone's mentioned this, but the state of Wisconsin has excellent bicycle trails through the Rails to Trails program.
No one's mentioned that, and you're right. They're great. I love riding them.
Yeah, and, you know, people are within a short distance from a trail, probably, and the city of Madison has great trails, and my husband and I are going to be planning a trip on the Badger State Trail that goes from Fitchburg down to the Illinois state border, and just on the other side of Belleville, on the south side of Belleville,
mm-hmm.
there's a railroad tunnel that you can go through. And it's just a great opportunity to get out and enjoy nature and also get a little bit of exercise and be healthy.
Thanks for the reminder, Vicki. I've wanted to do that part of the Badger State Trail where that railroad tunnel is. And then if it rains, you're even, you know, you're protected from it.
Well, yeah, and yeah. If it's really hot and muggy and mm-hmm. humid, it's really nice and cool in there, yeah. And there's a great breeze.
Yeah. Great idea. Phil Chard?
You know, it's interesting because about Americans spend about 50% of their available leisure time watching TV or doing other kind of passive activities like that. And when you go out and, you know, you engage yourself physically, again, you get into a natural context, and you get out of your head and into your body and into your senses, that is an immediate kind of antidote for that sort of mental cloud hanging over your head about, gee, everything's really going down the tube.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it's cheap. You're not wasting gas. So it's good for your economy and the earth. So all sorts of positives to biking.
Right, and the exercise we know, releases those good endorphins inside that make you feel better.
Laura in Lake Geneva, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an independent Stampin' Up! Demonstrator. I'm one of those gals that does independent home shows, and I show people how to be creative by doing cards, scrapbooking, stamping on the walls, clothing, you name it.
Stamping on the walls, huh?
Yeah. And I'm just one of thousands out there, and I know for a fact that, like on 9/11, this brings back memories because for everybody, but and especially to me, because on 9/11, I had a show that evening that was not canceled, and everybody, I had such a large group that came to my workshop in this gal's home, we had to move it to the basement, because people wanted to be around other people, but not necessarily to discuss it, you know, the elephant in the room, if you will.
Yeah.
But it seemed like everybody dove right in to be creative. And I noticed that even today, people want to be creative. And it doesn't matter what it is, something artistic, something for them to feel good about for a moment, or something to place out and say, oh, here it is forever, you know, maybe frame it, whatever the case may be. People need creativity.
Absolutely. Phil Chard, we just have a minute to go. Sounds like one size doesn't fit all, but we have all sorts of coping techniques for all of us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear how people really are able to invent those in their own lives. And you can learn a lot just by asking people around you, friends and family and colleagues, what kind of things they do. You'll discover things that reinforce your own strategies or offer you some new ideas as well. And that last caller really, again, talked about that other theme we've been hitting on, which is control.
Yeah.
When you are creative and you're bringing something new into the world, you feel like, gee, I really can make a difference, even if it's just in my own small sphere.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Phil Chard is a psychotherapist, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks to Rob Barrett and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.